right. So I thought that video was appropriate for us this morning as we talk about junk food. My name is Wendy Bennett, and I'm one of the pastors here at Everyday Church. And we're in this series that we're calling Soul Food, where we're talking about how the things we consume in our lives have the ability to affect our souls or our hearts, just the way that the food we eat affects the way our body works. And last week, Chris talked about resisting those things in our life that can be poisonous to us. But today, we're going to talk about junk food. And so I brought a little display of some junk food that is hard for me to resist personally. You know, this is the stuff that we all know. It doesn't really give us the fuel we need to go to work and concentrate well or have a great exercise session. And yet, we still want to eat it because it tastes so good. Well, I don't know how much junk food was around your house growing up, but my house was one of those houses where we didn't have a lot of junk food, so there weren't many potato chips or soda or the sugary cereal with a prize at the bottom of the box. You know, I didn't get that. And so then, you know, there was always a time where you get to go to a party and your parents aren't there, and all of a sudden you have access to all the junk food that you were deprived of. And so, you know, there's like heaping bowls of potato chips. And I did what most kids, you watch them do. They kind of just like stuff themselves, make themselves sick, eating the junk food before mom shows up. And I remember kind of like eating the food and thinking, my mom is a liar because she told me this stuff wasn't good and it's delicious, right? And so then when I went away to college, all of a sudden, all of this stuff is, you know, available at every meal. It wasn't just when my mom decided to go to the grocery store and get some junk food. Now it was available in the cafeteria, right? There's ice cream available. There was the sugary cereal at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so I don't know really how often I ate it, but it was enough where I started to know I had an issue because my clothes weren't fitting quite as well. You know, the freshman 15 happened. So I went home at Christmas break, and I had to resist all the treats and the cookies and all that stuff that we love during Christmas time. I actually worked at a catering business, so, I mean, it was, like, always around me. But I resisted so that I could fit into my clothes, and I went back to school realizing it was my job to resist the junk food. And that is kind of how my relationship with media and magazines and music is as well, that my parents, they kind of gave me a lot of guidance in that area. They kind of monitored what we were watching. They weren't super controlling, but they very much controlled, you know, gave us ideas of limits of what we could watch, and, you know, we couldn't just watch whatever we wanted to. But every once in a while, I would go to somebody's house, and they had no limits. And, you know, I would, like, gorge myself on MTV videos and, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, which I really had no interest in watching, but, you know, I wasn't allowed to watch it, so I watched it. And then, you know, I watched Dirty Dancing way too many times for any middle school kid to watch. And, you know, then I became an adult, and I was like, I'm on my own. I have to make my own choices here. And I remember the time that I was, like, it really hit me, like, I'm in charge of what I watch, was newly married, went to see a movie with Larry. And growing up, my dad, he's a researcher, so he researches everything, including movies and music. And, you know, we listened to the radio growing up, lots of different things. You know, we watched TV. It wasn't like you aren't allowed to see R-rated movies, but he really wanted to know what redeemable themes are in the stuff that we watched, right? And so he would even really enjoyed independent foreign films, which it's a small group of people who actually enjoy those. And so we'd have to go to these special theaters. But he would research and find out, you know, there was a really good movie that he thought I would enjoy. So he did the research and knew how much nudity, because there's always nudity in independent foreign films. And, you know, we would discuss the topic, and then we'd go see this movie together, and then we'd discuss it afterwards. And I realized when I got married to Larry that that's weird, because most families don't go and see movies like that. Most families do it like Larry's family, where you go to the movie and you look and you see, well, I like that actor, I like that actress, I kind of like that genre of film, so we'll go and see that movie without any research. And so that's what we did the time that Larry got to choose the movie, and he picked a science fiction movie, which he likes and I usually don't. But I was like, you know, newly married, I'm going to let him pick. He's going to pick the movie. And we went and saw this movie called Event Horizon. Yes, I went and saw that movie, and it was awful for me. I mean, it was awful. I have no idea really what was happening in the movie, but there was, like, maybe some people went to hell. I don't know, but it was freaky. It was freaky. And I went home afterwards, and I was like, I need to read my Bible. I need it to be very bright outside, and I need to choose what movies I go and see in the future, because I'm responsible for that. And then I became a parent. And then I started thinking, you know, I'd roll my eyes at my dad because he would say this crazy thing that he thought the things we watched or listened to would, like, affect us. And I would just roll my eyes at him because he also always talked about how the fathers in the shows I wanted to watch were always stupid. They were, like, if you watched in the 90s, like, the teenage dramas, the dads were always, like, clueless. They had no idea what was going on. But the teenagers, they really knew what was happening in life. Like, they were brilliant. And I would just kind of rolled my eyes. But then I became a parent, and I was like, maybe he's on to something. Maybe the things that my kids watch actually affect them. And I remember the first show was Caillou. Now, I don't know if you know what Caillou is, but I will warn you ahead of time before you have children that are experiencing Caillou. So Caillou's on PBS. I love PBS. Sesame Street's great. But Caillou is this little 4-year-old cartoon boy, experiences life like a normal 4-year-old. He whines like a normal 4-year-old. The problem is, he whines a lot. And then the narrator kind of says something like, Caillou is sad. Caillou doesn't want to listen to his mother, so he's sad. And then Caillou's parents don't ever say, you know, you should stop whining. Use your words, you know? They just are kind of like totally patient with Caillou, and he whines and whines and whines. And I noticed that my kids started whining when they watched Caillou, and I noticed I wasn't patient like Caillou's parents. And so I was like, we're not going to watch Caillou. And I also noticed the Disney Channel, if you ever have to watch the Disney Channel, you will notice that those shows, the parents are idiots. The principals are idiots. The teachers are idiots. But the kids, they know what's going on. And I started thinking that, okay, maybe the things that our kids watch actually have the potential to affect their behavior and maybe even their hearts. And I'm not alone. It's kind of this thing that people in the secular experts of children and child psychology agree that the things that kids watch and listen and play affect them. There's a University of Michigan professor of social psychology, Richard Nisbet, and he's one of the world's greatest authorities on intelligence. And he told one of his friends that he would prefer that his son be high in self-esteem or self-control, higher in the ability to have self-control than in having intelligence. Now, that's saying something for a guy who, like, that's his field, is intelligence. But he says that self-control is key to a well-functioning life because our brains make us easily susceptible to all sorts of influences. Watching a movie showing violent acts predisposes us to act violently. Even just listening to violent rhetoric makes us more inclined to be violent. Now, we can all see how it has the potential to affect our children, this idea of us consuming things that are junk food, that it affects our children. But how can we agree that it affects us too? I mean, that's harder. It's much harder for me. I know I say things to myself all the time. I look at Facebook a lot, but, you know, it really doesn't affect me. It's just something I do. Or, you know, yeah, some of the shows I watch have some dark stuff in them, but, you know, I'm an adult. I can handle it. And it's harder for us to agree that the things that we're consuming really are affecting our hearts. But the Bible speaks of this in the Old Testament. King Solomon is known for his wisdom. He wrote a book in Proverbs just giving advice on living a wise life. And he starts in Proverbs 4:23. He says, above all else. So we really need to listen to this. You know, his book is full of wisdom, but above all else, guard your heart. It is where your life comes from. You know, some translations say it is the wellspring of your life, or it is where life flows out of. This idea that our soul, what is happening to our soul or our heart, it is the beginning of everything. It influences our behavior, our thoughts, everything in life. And so it's obviously important for us to protect our hearts. But how do we do that in our world today? You know, looking at the Bible, it's an ancient text written thousands of years ago. It doesn't talk about social media or reality television or all these things that we have options to watch wherever we are because we have our cell phones, our smartphones with us. And so how do we make these choices? For centuries, church leaders have kind of decided the way to guard people's hearts is by telling them how to guard your heart. I'm going to give you the list of things you're allowed to do and the things you aren't allowed to do. And, you know, my dad grew up in a church like this. No drinking, no dancing, no even playing cards, even if you're not gambling, just cards, no cards. And you weren't allowed to go see a movie, not, you know, ratings, who cares, no movies. You know, that was like give you the list of do's and don'ts. And many churches are doing that, and it's challenging because there's new things that are coming at us at all times. And so how do we react to that? Well, if you look at this passage, it says, guard your heart. The idea is you're in charge of guarding your heart. I'm in charge of guarding my heart. And just like Weight Watchers, going to Weight Watchers, they don't tell you exactly what you eat every day, right? They give you strategies for how you make wise choices for yourself, for your own situation. And the same is true for each of us in our own lives, for the things that we are consuming. You see, Solomon continues in verse 24. He says, don't speak with twisted words. Keep evil talk away from your lips. Keep your eyes looking straight ahead. Keep looking right in front of you. Make level paths for your feet to walk on. Only go on ways that are firm. Don't turn to the right or left. And keep your feet from the path of evil. It's this idea that guarding your heart is a balancing act, that you always have to be aware of what's happening around you. And I think about, you know, living a healthy lifestyle in regards to food. You always have to be aware, right? It's constantly being aware of what choices you're making. If you remember in the video, Cookie Monster learned that to resist means to control yourself and stop yourself from doing something you really want to do. It's all about self-control. And the expert said that he'd prefer his child to have great self-control than intelligence, because we know that in the recent studies, they have seen that being a child being really good at self-control actually is one of the predetermining factors to see if he will be a successful adult in the future. And so there's all this emphasis in the secular world to teach our children self-control, and that's why Cookie Monster all year long is he's learning how to be self-controlled. But the Bible says a lot about living a life with self-control and being able to self-regulate ourselves. In fact, Paul in the New Testament, we know that Paul was actually Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians, but later he had a conversion, met Jesus, and he becomes this great leader, starts churches all over Europe and Asia, and he sends these letters giving advice to them on how they should live this new life following Jesus. How do you make decisions on how you're going to live this new life being like Jesus? And so it's very helpful for us to look at these letters. He sends a letter to a young man named Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and he says, this is why I remind you to keep using the gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So he's talking about this gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we choose to follow Jesus and are baptized. And he says, let it grow as a small flame grows into a fire. So just imagine that image for a minute. You know, when you strike a match and you throw it on something and a flame starts. That's the idea of this Holy Spirit, that it has the ability to grow inside of us. That we are actually, it gets stronger and stronger and consumes our life more and more. And then he follows and says, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Now, this is one of my favorite verses because I'm one of those people that have to remind myself regularly. I don't have a spirit that makes me afraid. I might have repeated that this morning. You know, I have a spirit of power and love and self-control, and it means those things that I think I can't do, I can't resist. I can because I have this spirit that is growing inside of me, this flame that is growing that gives me power and love and self-control. And then Paul writes to another friend, Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He said, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So this grace that we're talking about, it's the good news that Jesus loves us so much. It doesn't matter how messed up we are, how whatever we've done, he loves us so much that he died for us and took on our punishment. That's the grace that we focus on, and that when we focus on it, it teaches us to say no. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and the worldly passions around us, all those messages that we're confronted with as we walk the streets of New York City. And we are to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. When you focus on Jesus' love for you and what he's done in your life, it pushes you to say no to those things that you know are just going to hurt you. So that is why our church doesn't give you a list of do's and don'ts. We're not one of those churches that says this is what you can't do and this is what you should do, because we believe it's your job to guard your heart. And we want to help give you strategies to do that, but we know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and that you need to train yourself to listen to that Holy Spirit growing inside of you and help you make the decisions on what is junk food in my life. So growing up in the church, I heard this phrase often used called being in tune with the Holy Spirit. And as a kid, it was just like this phrase that people used, and I didn't really think what that meant. But I've been kind of thinking about it more and more, and it made me think of this conversation I had with one of my daughters who she had, I guess we got her, I don't really remember, but I guess we got her these headphones that she could change the channel and listen to different radio stations. But she just recently told me that she could also change like the frequency and hear our neighbor's phone calls, which is really cool. When you're a kid, it's like, I can spy. I had no idea this was going on. But I just kind of thought about like thinking about that in the Holy Spirit, being in tune, this idea that we have all of these messages that we can hear. But if we tune into the Holy Spirit, who's trying to speak to us and tell us to make wise choices and how to guard and protect our hearts. Another way we can think about this is for musicians. You know, for musicians, being in tune means something different. You know, if we have many professional musicians here, and if I played a note on the keyboard back here and said, okay, match this pitch, you know, a really good musician would be like able to match that perfectly, right? That exact pitch. But if you aren't a musician, like, we don't want to hear you try to match that pitch, right? You're like, that's a little higher, and, you know, you're off. But a good musician, they can hear. It's called having a good ear, right? You can hear the pitch and say, oh, maybe, actually, I hear myself. I'm a little flat. I'm a little sharp. I need to adjust to get that pitch exactly right. And so just think about that idea that we're training our ear to hear God's Spirit speaking to us and saying, make the wise choice. Maybe that isn't best. Really guiding us to guard our own hearts. So I hope you all understand that it's your job to guard your heart. But I want to give you just a few like Weight Watchers tips. When it comes to, you can use them for eating junk food, but I think you also should use them when it comes to consuming the things around us in life that can affect our souls. So the first one is, be aware of what you're consuming. So just like, you know, it's helpful when you're making a choice, do I eat a Pop-Tart or a hard-boiled egg? And you can say, okay, there are 200 calories in a Pop-Tart. And, you know, how much sugar does it have? And you just are aware of the ingredients and the things you're consuming. That should be true, too, for the things that we're consuming in life, whether it's, you know, going out on Saturday night and going the places we choose to go, or the social media that we are looking at, the blogs we're looking at, the TV we're watching, the music we're listening to, the games we're playing, all those things. What kind of images and messages are in the stuff that we're consuming? The next thing to think about is be aware of how it affects you. So, you know, if you eat a Snicker bar at the office, you know, at 2 o'clock every day, and then you notice at 3 o'clock you're really sleepy, you're kind of like noticing, like, this affects me, and it might not be a wise choice for me. And the same can be true for just the way we consume things in our free time. So if you kind of notice, like, after I spend time with these people or go to this place, I feel sad, or I feel self-critical, or I'm not happy with my life. And I think that happens a lot to us. I have a few ideas that I want to share just in my life personally. One thing is I've noticed that shows that don't have a redeemable character in them, like, there isn't one character that I'd want to be friends with. You know, like, there's nobody you're really cheering for because they're all kind of, like, terrible people. Though, and there are a lot of good shows like that, you know, that have great ratings. But I will start to watch those shows, and then I'll be like, afterwards I notice, like, I don't feel good. I'm just kind of like, that didn't help me feel better for the next day. And so I just kind of, that is for me. Is there a redeemable character, somebody I want to be friends with in that show? No, okay, it's not a good choice for me. Another thing is I love costume drama shows. I love old classic romantic novels. Those are my favorite. But I've also noticed they often have affairs in them. And often the type of affairs where you're cheering for the people to have affairs. And for me, it came to the conclusion that that wasn't helpful for me. You know, I've been married for years. I really want to have a faithful, loving marriage, and to be cheering for somebody to have an affair probably wasn't helpful in my life. And I could go on and on with some choices that I've noticed, but it's very helpful to see how are the things that you're consuming affecting you. The next word of advice is limited. You know, if you, this stuff isn't poisonous, it won't kill you right away, but you're not supposed to eat a whole, Larry, you're not supposed to eat a whole thing of Oreos. Sorry. You know, it's hard to say, I'm just going to eat two Oreos, and then maybe next week I'll eat two more Oreos, right? That's the idea of junk food. It's really hard to limit. And the same is really true for anything, everything in moderation, right? But it's really hard sometimes. It's become really popular to binge watch shows, right? It's popular at my house. It's popular, I'm sure, in many of your houses. In fact, people are advertising shows as, like, really good binge-worthy shows, which I think is interesting because, like, you couldn't say Pringles, good binge-worthy food, you know? Like, if that was, like, their new logo or whatever, you know, people would be like, that's unhealthy. We don't want to encourage people to binge eat, right? We all agree. That's not healthy, but we've all just kind of accepted, like, there's some things that we should, yeah, binge-watch shows, and that doesn't affect us. So just being thoughtful about how much time are we actually spending on things. The next word of advice is, this is tough. Don't consume something to avoid thinking about your fears, anger, or sadness. I think, you know, last week Chris talked about addictions, and I think that's like the beginning of all addictions. It's kind of like, we don't even know we're doing it, but we just have these yucky feelings, and especially if you were grew up in a home where you didn't do feelings, you didn't talk about feelings, or feelings are scary, then it's easy. We just naturally try to avoid thinking about these feelings and dealing with these emotions, and I am very susceptible to this. You know, I can eat my feelings, I can, you know, shop, you know, all those things that, like, I'm feeling sad, I'm going to do something else instead of thinking about being sad. But what I've learned is that God actually created us. He created us with emotions, and they're not something to fear. They actually have the ability to teach us and allow us to grow. And so it's important to just be aware, like, why are you choosing to watch something, or why are you choosing to look on social media instead of maybe even thinking about what's going on in your own life? And there was a time in my life where I was dealing with some really hard feelings. This was before I had done some real work on feeling emotions and how to deal with them. And I also had very young children at home. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I had two little ones, and just busy, busy, busy. And at the end of the day, you know, you kind of want to reward yourself. They're asleep. And I remember God speaking to me, and he's never done this since, and he didn't do it before, but he was very clear, asked me to stop watching TV until I dealt with my emotions. And I tried to say no, but it was consistent, this message of, please stop, until you deal with your emotions. And so it was tough for me, but it was very important. I don't know, it was a painful ministry experience. I don't know if I would be here today if I hadn't processed the emotions of that. And so it's really important for us sometimes to just be aware, why are we choosing to consume what we're doing? And the last word of advice is fill up on the good stuff first. You know, Weight Watchers will tell you, eat a salad before you go out to a meal. You know, fill yourself up with the good stuff first. And I think a lot of us just are filling up on things that are easy, that are the quickest things to grab, whether it's, you know, Netflix or Facebook, you know, Twitter, all those things. We can just spend a lot of time on that stuff, filling up our lives up with that, and we're missing out on relationships with one another. I mean, you've seen videos and commercials and about people going out to dinner and the whole time they're looking on their cell phones, right? You can go and do that for brunch today, and you see that people are, they're on their cell phones, and it affects our family. And so it's really important that we're aware of what we're missing out on, that we're missing out on the good stuff. I know several years ago when we were living in Ohio, there was a huge storm that swept through and took out the electricity in Cincinnati for almost a week. And the kids were home the entire week without electricity. And I remember it was September. I was like, this is going to be terrible because there's no TV. They can't play games. What are we going to do? And it's funny, when you talk to people about that week in Cincinnati, they remember how much fun it was. Because we were all outside. We were off. And so we were all outside, like, talking to our neighbors and, like, having these picnics where we're, like, cooking our meat before it went bad and just sharing with our neighbors. And my kids will remember that we played charades to candlelight, and they're like, why can't we do that every night? You know, it's so much fun. And so we really actually kind of miss out sometimes on the good stuff in life. So we're encouraging you guys to do a little media cleanse. We're going to join with people across the world because there's such a thing as International Screen-Free Week. It just happens to be May 4th through the 10th. And so we are encouraging you guys to join with communities around the world. It says to unplug from digital entertainment and spend your free time playing, reading, daydreaming, creating, exploring, and connecting with family and friends. So this idea that we are not going to watch or interact with anything that has a screen. You know, you have to do your work, use your computers for work, but try to not, you know, go over and shop on eBay while on your breaks, you know, things like that. And we're going to see what happens when we take a week off of that. And I'm pretty excited. I know it's going to be a challenge for my family, but I'm excited to see what happens when we're, like, forced to connect with each other in a new way. We all can agree that we're no longer children who can just eat as much junk food and just think it isn't going to affect us. We all know that we have to make healthy choices. And it's fun to see when somebody makes a new change in their life and they decide, I'm going to eat healthy. What they do is they go to the doctor and they get these really healthy results, right? They come back and they say, your cholesterol has gone down, your blood pressure has gone down, and it's really exciting, and you decide, I'm going to keep this up. I'm going to be healthy. Well, the same can be true for our souls. We can have healthy results for our soul. Paul lists the results that happen when we live a spirit-led life, where we're listening into the Spirit guiding us to guard our hearts, and he lists them. They're known as the fruit of the Spirit. He lists them as the producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now just imagine if these words described people in Inwood. As you walk through Inwood, yeah, people from Inwood, they're known for their love, for their joy, for their peace when things, you know, the trains are late. They're just at peace. They have patience with one another as they talk to strangers. Their kindness for people around them, goodness, faithfulness in their marriages and in their relationships, gentle people, people who are self-controlled. Now, I know that it's going to be a challenge for me to make some changes in my life and get rid of some bad habits when it comes to junk food for my soul, but I really want the results, and I think they're worth working for. I really want people to say that about me. I want them to say that about my home and my family. I want them to say that about this church, that the people in this church are known for their love, their joy, their peace, their patience, their kindness, their goodness, their faithfulness, their gentleness, and their self-control. Now, I know I need to do some work, and I think you probably think you need to do some work too. You have the choice. Will you guard your heart? Will you choose to feed your soul? Or will you settle for the substitutes? It's up to you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your love, that you are not a father who is demanding and judgmental, but you love us and care about us and want what's best for our lives. You want us to have these wonderful results in our families and in our homes and in our church, Lord. And so I pray that your spirit would grow inside of me and inside this church, and that we would train our ears to listen to your spirit. Help us make